I have a very dramatic announcement. So anyone with a weak heart should leave now.
Unreal. Revolution. Revolution. Uncensored. Revolution. Revolution. Unfiltered. Revolution. Revolution. Unchanged. Revolution. Revolution. Unadulterated. Revolution. Revolution. Unbelievable. CliffCentral.com. Revolution. Revolution. Revolution.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and it's so good to be with you all today. And of course, it's always good to be with you, Flubi.
How was that intro music? What an intro.
I think it's quite appropriate for us, Future CEOs, yes?
Ooh, I like the attitude. Good day, Gareth.
So I hope you're having a good day because it's just going to get better.
Absolutely.
Now, just quickly tell everyone what the show is all about.
It's an absolute pleasure. To all of those who are listening, Future CEOs is about helping young, ambitious, high-potential entrepreneurs, high-potential executives to grow their businesses and fast-track their careers.
Sounds so very good. Guest, we're not going to introduce you just yet, so I'm going to call you guest for a moment. How does it sound?
Fantastic.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so let's maybe we'll introduce our guest in studio for this half-hour talk. This way.
Okay.
Now, this...
You got me. There's two
worlds we're talking to here. We're talking to those people who are in a career who are trying to really push for their CEO position, the CEO status. We also then talk to entrepreneurs.
Yes.
In studio today, we have someone who brings the best of those worlds together.
Yes.
And it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I don't know. Should we let her introduce herself?
I think we should let her introduce herself.
Let's do that. Welcome to the studio. Who are you? And why are you here?
What are you doing here? Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Siyabe Mafoyane, and I'm Chief Executive Officer of Shanduka Black Umbrellas.
Now, Shanduka Black Umbrellas, wow. That's a really nice brand to be associated with. We're actually going to have your group CEO on our in a conversation with us at an event in September. So that's going to be interesting. But we don't have her here now. We have you here. talk us through a little bit of your journey. How did you get to be the CEO of the Black Umbrellas?
Wow. I suppose all a dream, really. None of it deliberate. Have just happened to find the opportunities. But with Black Umbrellas in particular, I joined Shanduka Black Umbrellas in 2012 in September as Chief Operating Officer.
Mm. Okay.
And 2.5 years later, have had the privilege of being appointed CEO, and really, really look forward to charting a greater path, a new path for Shanduka Black Umbrellas, and hopefully in doing so, re-inspire entrepreneurship in South Africa.
Okay, fantastic. And are you being specific about black businesses?
Absolutely. So we unapologetically develop 100% black-owned businesses.
Yeah.
And
preach it, sister. Preach it. Yeah.
And it's it's not a job for me. It's something that I love doing. It's a lot of hard work, but I couldn't be doing anything else right now.
Now, just talk to us a little bit about your background. So you sit in this really what is perceived to be and is a lofty position. You perhaps potentially have a corner office, a great view overlooking the Joburg skyline, and maybe you play golf every other day. But but the question is, how did you get there? Talk us through that journey. So there are going to be some of our listeners who hear your voice and hear what you say, and they're inspired by you, but they don't think that they can make it. Talk to those people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say, if a small-time girl like me can make it, anybody can.
Okay.
And I've managed to prove that to myself. I studied in Pietermaritzburg. I've got a BSc in microbiology.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my love has always been music and speech and drama. But when I got to the end of high school, my mom said, absolutely not. Mm. And, you know, like most mothers who didn't know much about the careers that can be made out of speech and drama, she wanted me to do something safe.
Okay.
So I wound up registration day on campus with no clue what I wanted to do, but I've always had a knack for the sciences. And it was really a matter of eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and microbiology is what it was. I absolutely loved it and enjoyed it. But as soon as I graduated, I knew I couldn't be stuck in a lab coat behind closed doors looking at microorganisms all day.
Mm.
So, you know, I love interacting with other people. I draw my energy from people around me. And the very first job opportunity I got was at Discovery Health back in April of 2000.
Okay.
And then I really, it wasn't clear in my head even then. All I knew is that I needed an opportunity to prove myself. I've always been a hard worker, and I knew that I ultimately wanted to set myself apart from the rest of the pack.
I want to jump in here because what you've said is so important.
I love that.
I think too many people think sometimes that you have to have this clear vision and that's where you're going to be going and you know where you're going the entire time, but your life changes. We were just talking about it off air, Louis, weren't we?
Yes, yes. I think the universe has a wonderful way of conspiring and leading you in the right path, and it doesn't always feel like the right path.
Mm.
I think many of the decisions I've made and many of the places I've found myself in haven't actually been deliberate choices.
Mm.
It has been a door that's been in front of me at that time, and stepping into it has really been a risk. But it's been truly, truly rewarding, and I feel very blessed to do what I do.
Now, I want to draw a little bit more out of you, if I may.
Of course.
Just tell us the circumstances of how you grew up. A lot of people, when they hear CEO, they think, okay.
Untouchable.
Untouchable, maybe silver spoon in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's connections, political or otherwise. I get asked that a lot. Okay.
So the title CEO probably leads a lot of people thinking that there was a silver spoon. And a lot of the time, it's even the accent that, I get told often you speak well, and I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
So people assume
culture and language.
Oh, goodness. Yes, having had a certain type of education, it means you come from a certain background.
Mm.
So I don't know if you guys know that I come from a small town of Mafikeng, Mabato in the Northwest Province.
Okay.
I am a small town girl that grew up in a community like most Black South African kids do. I am the third child. I've got two older sisters and a younger brother.
All right.
I am, my parents were middle class, working class parents, and struggled like everybody else. I got the wonderful opportunity. My parents were obsessive about education,
which is a fantastic
even from thing. The time when we were small. You know, I tell people all the time, when I started school, when I started grade one, I could read and write.
Mm.
And my parents wouldn't have it any other way. On Sunday after lunch, my dad used to switch off the radio and the TV, and he'd hand all of us a piece of paper and say, read a story, a paragraph, and tell us what it says.
Wow.
And annoying as it was when I was younger, it developed for us, the reading ability, etc. So that's really where the passion came from. I then, after primary school, got a scholarship to go to an international school.
Okay.
Very, very grateful
after
for
primary
it.
School.
After primary school.
Women, come on. Wow.
But again, I want to jump in here. The important point is your commitment to education.
Absolutely.
Disciplining yourself in a certain kind of way pays dividends.
Absolutely.
It paves the way for something to come.
Absolutely. My mom used to say, especially when we were in high school, and this is all pre-1994, my mom used to say, things are going to change in South Africa. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the new South Africa is going to come with its own challenges.
Mm.
And she always used to make the example to my older sisters and my older sisters and I to say, if there is a white candidate who grew up in Sandton, whatever other color, and there's you, what's going to make them want to take you? Because it will no longer be about somebody who didn't have the opportunity. If the new South Africa is going to mean that it's the best of the best, you need to make sure that you can compete against the best. Absolutely. And nobody wants to hear your sob story. So that really was the driving force for my parents. And my parents said, we can't leave you trust funds. There's nothing that we can give you. We can't leave you properties, but we can certainly give you a great education. And what you do with that is then entirely up to you.
Very, very, very nice.
I know that you're a firm believer in transformation.
Yes.
What is important? What else is important to you?
I believe in granting people the opportunity, but I also believe in hard work. I believe that in everything that you're doing, you're planting a seed. And, you know, you won't reap the benefit right now, not even tomorrow, sometimes not even in 6 months' time, but it'll absolutely come at some point in your life. So a lot of people may look down at the opportunity they have at the moment. You know, it's how you show up at work. It's about your attitude. It's about your contribution that actually remains behind long after you're gone.
That's so true.
And what I hear is
this
that
is why I love the show, Gareth.
You always reap what you sow.
Absolutely.
You always reap what you sow. There's no getting away from that.
And you know what? Those kind of things, and we talk about that all the time on the show, and I think that's what separates the show from so many other entrepreneurial shows, is that we talk about the things that are priceless.
Yes.
The things that money can buy, but the things that will leave your legacy in that organization forever.
Absolutely.
And that's the kind of thing that we want from you, and that's what we want you to impart to all those ambitious entrepreneurs and executives listening to you. Carry on.
So, I mean, I remember when I was interviewed for the COO role, and you know, I was speaking to the panel that was interviewing me, and I had to recall my career. And they said to me, at the highest level, in every single organization that you've worked at, who can we speak to? And at that moment, you can't backtrack and go and fix anything. So it's about how you showed up. It's about your attitude. It's your integrity. It's your reputation. And that stuff is indelible. When you've left it behind, that's it. It's signed and sealed. And I could proudly say, speak to anyone at the highest level.
I love
all of the organizations I've been at, because I know I've always showed up. And I've always prided myself in doing, you know, if we've got to do 10, let me do 12. I want to stick out from the crowd. I remember at the start of my career thinking, there's 80 of us in here. How on earth am I going to move up? And I thought, what I'll do is I'll show up earlier than everyone, and I'll stay later than everyone, and I'll do 20% more than everyone. And that's really how I've run my life until now.
So let me jump in here again. I like jumping into this, because, and I have to jump in to highlight a couple of things. So the question to you who is listening to this conversation is, do you get up earlier than anyone? Do you arrive at work earlier than other people?
Are you the last person to leave? Do you put in that 20% at work?
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't, I guess then you can probably count yourself out in terms of certain kind of opportunities that are going to come your way. You always reap what you sow. Here's a question. Let's jump into the CEO side of this conversation. You were a COO.
Yes.
You're now a CEO. What do CEOs actually do? So you were on the ops side. Now you're in this other role. What's the difference between the two?
I really was kind of hoping CEOs stare out at the skyline and drink tea and play golf. But so disappointed.
CEOs.
So they don't. Okay.
No, they don't.
Maybe we need to change the type of the show.
But you know, in as you correctly said, in the COO role, I was very operational. I was about writing policy, setting up structure, making sure it's implemented, making sure we deliver on the mandate. And the CEO role is more strategic. So it's about setting the tone for the future. It's about responding malleably to the changing landscape and operating environment. You know, for small business, we've got the new BEE codes now. Yep. What do they mean for small business? But also, what do they mean for corporate South Africa? And how do we ensure that as Shanduka Black Umbrellas, we are agile enough to be able to transform as quickly as the landscape or the operating environment does, to make sure that we can respond adequately to the benefit of the small businesses that we support?
I know that as Shanduka Umbrellas, you provide kind of professional services. You provide incubators, and my favorite, that is structured mentorship. Tell us a little bit about all of that.
So we, you know, incubation isn't very big in South Africa, but that's because the landscape of small and medium enterprises is still in development in South Africa. Mm. But in the rest of the world, that really is where large corporates come from. Mm. So, you know, the Skype invention actually came out of a business in an incubator. Mm. In other developing nations like Brazil, you know, they have a seat in the government and are driving legislation. We're getting there in South Africa only now, with the small business ministry having been set up last year. So it's certainly changing and moving in the right direction. But what we look to do is we look to find those small businesses that can, on the one hand, respond to the challenge, and the challenge in South Africa is really, really simple. It's on the one hand poverty, on the other hand it's unemployment. Mm. So we need to make sure that the small and medium businesses that we're developing are the high impact businesses that will look to create jobs, but also look to create wealth in order for there to be a change in the landscape. I think it's about 60% of the country's population is employed by small medium enterprises.
Interesting.
But what's really scary is that in South Africa at the moment, there's an 80% failure rate of small and medium enterprises. Yep. So hence the depression that we see in the employment environment. So it really, really is, the onus is on small and medium enterprises. The big change is not going to come from government, but the big thrust is really going to come from small and medium enterprises. So all of us should be rallying around them to ensure that they're adequately, that there is a nurturing environment that ensures that they succeed.
Speak about nurturing. Talk us through mentorship.
So we have a dynamic international mentorship program, actually. Mm-hmm. We look for seasoned professionals mm-hmm. who are already running industry or are in corporate environments to mentor the small businesses in addition to all of the other services that we provide. Mm-hmm. One of the international programs that I can speak to is the Johnson & Johnson Lalonga Mentorship Program, which actually mentors businesses on Shanduka Black Umbrella. So we have the chief executive of Johnson & Johnson
wow.
International
wow.
that mentors one of the small businesses that comes from a township in
Very
Cape Town.
Nice.
Wow.
Very nice.
And I mean that, you know, it's in passing forward the information of how to run a corporate. Because even though Johnson & Johnson is a large corporate, at some point there was a starting point and somebody had mm-hmm. an idea. But we're also hoping that in doing so, these corporate seasoned professionals can also start to open some of their networks to enable the access to markets for our small businesses.
Now, I'm going to be the guy that pulls us back to your personal journey over and over again, if you don't mind. So you've spoken about this massive, really, responsibility that you have. Mm-hmm. You've spoken about your differing role between being a COO and now being a CEO. So let me ask this question. Maybe you can finish the sentence for us instead. As a CEO, my highest priority every day is to ensure
that I deliver on the mandate of our board and stakeholders.
What does that mean?
That keeps me up at night.
I'm sure it would.
That really is ensuring that the operational environment, so the COO is responsible for the operational environment internally.
Yeah.
But I need to make sure that externally we are delivering on the mandate that we promised to do in order to make sure that even we reputationally, are not negatively impacted. Mm. So Shanduka Black Umbrellas is a brand. It's not my brand. It's a brand that I have bought into. It has a legacy. It has a history. It has stakeholders who put money into it to ensure that we deliver on a mandate that has a broader social impact for the country. So it's bigger than me and it's bigger than, my entire team, and bigger than the years that I will spend delivering on this mandate. So it's really making sure that at every single point, every conversation that we're having, every process that we're implementing, everything that we do speaks to the excellence and delivery that sets us apart.
The value missions.
Absolutely.
You know, your
Absolutely.
Value missions. Just on a personal note, you love reading.
I do.
You love international travel.
I do.
those qualities, how have they kind of defined who you are and made you the CEO that you are today?
Oh, goodness. Wow. I love that question. So for the longest time, I think growing up, what books helped me to do was escape reality, whatever the reality was, good, bad, or indifferent. And expanded my mind, really. You know, I, as I said earlier, I was a scholarship child at an international school. So I went to school with very wealthy children.
Absolutely.
I went to school with very exposed children.
Absolutely.
and, you know, their Christmas vacations consisted of shopping trips to Paris,
oh, wow,
where mine were a visit to my grandmother in Pretoria.
Mm.
And so what books enabled me to do is create a picture in my mind of the reality that I wanted to someday create for myself. And I knew that it was possible because I had people around me that were living that reality. And as quickly as I could, in my first job, literally within my sixth paycheck, I started traveling. It wasn't international travel. It was a trip to Swaziland, but it was a trip nonetheless. And that for me was just a freedom, you know, something that I could do for myself. And obviously the more I grew, the bigger the trips got.
So where have you been? What's your latest international holiday? Come on, entice us. Make us jealous.
I'll tell you what. I've been a lot of places. But I keep going back to New York. I absolutely love it. So I was there about 6 weeks ago. I had a conference in Denver. And then I stopped over for mandatory shoe shopping. Who doesn't, right?
Let me just jump in. I'm really, really good at carrying bags, by the way. just if you need a porter or... What are those guys that chased up the mountain? That's me.
Somehow I don't think I can afford you.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking about books, what books do you recommend all future CEOs to read?
Oh, goodness. There is something about, see, a lot of people read a lot of things, but I think there's a process prior to reading. And that's about having an authentic conversation with yourself. You can read all the books that you want in the world. If you are not authentically looking at Siape or Hlubi in the mirror and going, girl, these are your blind spots. This is where you need to shape and change yourself. No amount of reading is going to have an impact on
you. I do that all the time. Look in the mirror and say, girl. Okay, I don't really, but I don't think we've had a CEO on the show that has said that to us before. They've always recommended a book, but they've never said have an authentic conversation with yourself before you read, before you explore these other worlds. I must admit, I didn't like how you said you step out of reality by reading books. What I really liked, I formulated a different sentence in my head. I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah.
And I think you expanded your reality as you read those books.
Absolutely.
And you said that at a later stage.
Absolutely.
But the basis of which was this authentic conversation that you're referring to now.
Nice. And also the realization that dreams can come true. And it's incredible that, you know, people say, due to dream of becoming a CEO.
Mm.
Maybe
I don't know.
My dream was, this isn't it. That's all I knew. All I knew growing up was that wasn't it. And I knew I wanted a magnificent life.
Mm.
I love a good quality of life. I knew I wanted to be able to travel and do things. Because as I said, my peers were living those sorts of lives back then, you know, in primary school, or just at the start of high school. And I knew I wanted that level of exposure. Mm. The beauty of it is, as you move up in your career, you know, as you get to that next milestone. I mean, coming out of university, I had a very simple dream. I just wanted a car.
Mm.
It didn't matter what it was. It just needed to go forward. I think I wouldn't have cared if it couldn't get into reverse. I just needed some sort of transportation.
So that you could have that freedom, right?
Absolutely. So proud of my very first car, which a lot of kids probably get in high school or even earlier, but it was mine. And as soon as I did that, and I ticked that off and I knew that I could do that, it allowed me to dream a little bigger.
I want you to balance this idea of dreaming big with a certain thing that I see more and more, and through you, I know you'll have seen this as well, with certainly young people, is that they want to have these things immediately. They want to have this Porsche or Ferrari or a big house, a mansion, but they're not willing to put in the work. Just balance it out for us a little.
Oh, there's a level of investment. You have got to pay your school fees. I don't know any other way. I mean, I surround myself with friends who are like me. One of my colleagues the other day had gone and read a profile of a friend of mine and said, oh, goodness, you know, do you guys hang out with each other because you're both? And I said, absolutely not. Mm. You know, we were in varsity together. Mm. We were eating bread and water together. We've come a long way together. Mm. But we've paid our fees. And we've realized, obviously also through the support and shaping of parents, that there wasn't a shortcut. And thank goodness we didn't go looking for shortcuts. But the beauty of life is that it keeps rewarding you just enough to keep you hungry, just enough to get you reaching the next dream.
I like that a lot. With regards to shortcuts, often shortcuts seem or turn into dead ends, don't they?
Absolutely.
Vision, which you had, reality, which you're living, opportunities. I think so much I hear from entrepreneurs, people who want to break out of the mold of the corporate and do their own thing, the missed opportunities. Is there such a thing as coming back from a missed opportunities? Are there missed opportunities? What did you do with the opportunities that you didn't act on?
I think there are opportunities every day. And I think some of the biggest opportunities lie in disasters, in fact.
Mm. Sure.
You know, they're not the pretty ones wrapped up in silk ribbons.
I like that.
Yeah, they're not. They don't walk into the office and say, hey, let's give you business. I'd like to give you 10 million rand to do this for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, within that chaos, it's in willing to get the hands dirty. It's in rolling up the sleeves and diving in there that the opportunity comes. When I took over the COO role, at the point, I mean, within the first 30 days, I just thought, can I actually do this? I wasn't even thinking about the CEO opportunity. And now the CEO opportunity is here, and it gives me great exposure for myself, but also for the organization, and has got me thinking about where the next frontier will be for my own journey. But what I'm saying to you is that opportunities all often come wrapped up in what we call disaster.
A mess.
Absolutely. And those messes allow us to
chaos.
Sometimes humble ourselves, but also build the strength of character to be able to move you to the next level. I've often said about some of the biggest disasters in my life, I know that I wasn't ready for this reality had I not gone through that.
The greatest,
you know, it
gifts.
Is that humbling, that coming down, that almost becoming bare and naked that enables you to, when you do step into the next role, be really, really humble because you have, you know, you have had the limitation.
Another executive that I once had a conversation with, it wasn't on air, unfortunately, so we don't have it recorded, but let's record it here. He said that in those moments he has a crisis of confidence, which is a nice way to phrase it, this crisis of confidence.
Absolutely.
I said, okay, well, what do you do? And he just said, well, I take a step back. Mm. I review it. I analyze it to see what it is. And then I try and pull those things into my life that will make me confident the next time I'm in that same situation. I think that's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's similar in the journey of entrepreneurship as well. Mm. You know, I was reading something yesterday and I can't remember the quote exactly, but the essence of it was, unfortunately, people see the end point. You know, people don't see the work that goes into.
Oh, yes, the
iceberg.
In
that preparation phase, I mean, for instance, when I was a junior consultant at Discovery in April of 2000, nobody wanted, you know, you wouldn't have invited me onto this show. Mm. But there's work that's gone into the journey that often people don't see. So people will say things like, oh, you're so lucky, or who do you know? But they don't
imagine
that there's years and years of hard work, of learning, of mentorship. You know, there are people who have stepped aside and allowed me the opportunity. There's people that are people that have taken a risk on me. There are people who have mentored me and held my hand. And to all those people, I'm eternally grateful.
Now, you mentioned something, learning. Let's talk about that for a minute or two. Please tell us a story about the biggest mistake you've made in your career. Perhaps it's in the CEO role already. I mean, it's very fresh, but I mean, a month is there are lots of opportunities where there could be mistakes that are made. What was the biggest mistake you made, and what was the biggest lesson you took from that mistake?
I think I've made so many mistakes along the way. One of my biggest ones is actually where...
Just don't name names.
No, I won't name names.
Name and shame.
Or you can. Yeah.
One of my biggest mistakes is actually where I believe my best opportunity came from.
Okay.
So I'd been at an organization, an amazing organization. I speak very fondly about it even today. But I had a feeling that I didn't have the passion that I did at the start of my career in that organization. Mm. I just didn't feel as hungry as I did initially. In my head, I didn't think I was working as hard either. Mm. I'd built a reputation. My reputation preceded me, and people thought I was incredible. I'd won many accolades within that organization. I'd been promoted, and I just got to a point where I thought, nah, mm-mm. I'm not going to believe my own hype. There must be something else I'm not doing right. And the more conversations I had about what do I need to do to be better, the more I kept getting told, oh, you're amazing. And I just chose not to believe that. And so I thought long and hard.
Was that the mistake?
That was a mistake because then I resigned from the organization.
Okay.
I wrote my resignation and I got called by one of the executives on the board of the organization the day before I left. And he said to me, go home and write your job description on one side of the paper. Mm. And on the flip side of the paper, write the amount of money you want for that job. And walk in here tomorrow and I'm going to make it happen.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I walked in there tomorrow and I said, thank you for the opportunity, but no thank you and goodbye.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But had I not done that, I wouldn't be here at this moment.
Okay, very
I truly believe there's something like a fit between you and an organization.
Yes.
And I think sometimes money is not the case.
Absolutely.
It's just integrity.
Absolutely.
And it's just ethics and it's just principles that'll make you stay there for as long as you're always consistently challenged. And you just are such a breath of fresh air when it comes to that, because I know that you won't take anything less than that.
Oh, no, I've got to be true to me.
Yeah.
You know, the voices in my head keep me up at night.
But it's also me too, but probably not the same reasons.
It's like that wonderful pair of Manolo Blahniks, you know, the one that you bought 6 years ago. It's so beautiful.
Hey, the fit.
First wear it, and that fit, and it's perfect. But, you know, after it's done the pavement a few times, it's an old pair of Manolos. It doesn't fit right. It just doesn't look the way it did. It probably has a little bit of a wobble in it. And, you know, do you just keep it sitting there because it reminds you of what it used to be? Or do you give it to somebody else and allow somebody else to be blessed because you can get the next pair? So that's exactly what it is. It's appreciating what it's meant, but being authentic to yourself and saying
it's time to move
when
on.
It's time to move on.
All right, we've got only a couple of minutes left here. I'd want to ask this question. What are your three pillars of CEO leadership? What are your three pillars?
Oh, it is the people around you.
Okay.
The human capital.
Mm.
No matter how brilliant or intelligent you are, without the right people around you, you cannot deliver. And, you know, it's finding the right people, but it's also making sure that you use the best out of those people. So the strength, use everybody to their best ability to ensure that they help you reach the mandate. And it's about from day one, from the, you know, from the day they open up the office for you, it's about preparing for the day you leave.
Okay. So that's number two then.
Absolutely.
The succession so it's element, succession. A legacy that you
It's paying it forward. It's that legacy. It's about not staying there. I think we see it in Africa all the time. Yeah. You know, I want a fourth and a fifth and whatever else.
Die, yeah. Die in office.
Die in office. No. It's about doing something amazing and leaving on a high. And I believe personally for myself, it's staying as humble as possible because I believe you're either going to humble yourself or sometimes life will humble you.
You will be humbled. Yeah. Okay, very interesting.
Gareth always tells me the entrepreneurial journey is a lonely one.
Yes.
Who has been your support structure through this journey of yours? And I believe that you trust in your journey, but sometimes it's a sad and lonely and hard it journey. Is. Who has been part of that journey with you?
I think my parents are amazing. Spiritually, I also have a great support system through my church. But I have friends who, for me, are, you know, I always say I am their cheerleader as they are mine. So they know me. They know me outside of the title. They know me. They know me and my fears. They know me at my most naked and vulnerable. And they're the people that steer me forward even when I begin to doubt myself. And it's surrounding yourself with those people, very few of them, but those authentic people who you know when you start doubting yourself will remind you how you got there.
Mm. It's nice, eh? This has been a great conversation. It really has been.
Yeah, you're amazing.
A final word to our future CEO listeners out there who are listening and saying the same thing that we are. Wow. Just give them a final word of advice. Maybe I can ask the question this way.
Yeah.
Go back to the 20-year-old you and talk to you, the
20-year-old
you. What would you say to you, a 20-year-old?
I'm going to give her a hug first.
Absolutely. Also, brace yourself, Sissy. Brace yourself.
Oh, and I'd say to her, girl, you're going to break a few bones.
Ish.
Oh, you're going to get a few scratches. Mm. You're going to bleed. Mm. It's going to be hard. But believe what's in your head, because I truly, truly believe that thoughts become things. And make sure that you're constantly cleaning out that thought place in your head. Take out the negative. Let them be the lessons, but keep the positive in your head and be careful who you share your dreams with because
nice.
People speak into your future through what you share with them.
Maybe a final word?
Speechless.
Yeah.
For once.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Ms. Mafunyane, it's been an absolute pleasure to having you in studio.
So
the
much.
CEO of Shanduka Black Umbrellas. It's been a fascinating conversation. We're going to end it there. Thank you very, very
it's
much.
It's been a privilege. So you are a one in a million.
Thank you very much.
After the break, we're going to be joined again by our whizzes from F&B Business. Who are going to be guiding us, helping us to bank better. And we'll see you after this.
E-Bucks.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.